All right, man. Ready to talk some shit?
Yes, sir.
After
eons.
Shit. After such a very long time.
Too long.
Yeah.
You know how people say it's like when you crack a joke about maybe someone who's passed or whatever.
Right.
And then they say too soon. For us, it's the opposite. It's like too long.
Too long. Too late.
Too late.
You could have done this a long time ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, a lot has happened since we last recorded an episode. Do you even remember the last time?
The thing is, it's like we've recorded a number of episodes that have not aired.
About three. Yes.
About three.
Which is insane.
Three.
Insane.
I don't know. Why do I feel like there's more?
You feel like there's more? Maybe. Could be five.
Maybe. Okay. It's definitely less than five.
Definitely less than five.
I believe that.
But more than three.
More than three.
So four.
I think four. I think it's four. Four is the magic number.
Yeah. But like when we last recorded something?
I don't even remember what episode we're on.
Wow. Gotta check that real quick.
I do not remember.
Let me see.
Episode we are on, sir.
60. No, 50. Look at me saying 60. Could be.
We didn't cross 60?
Oh, yeah, we did.
We crossed 60.
62 was the last one.
There you go.
If I can have you.
Yeah.
When the guy killed the girl and whatever. Remember that?
No, I remember that. That was in Eastern Province, right? That was a huge story.
Yeah, that was massive.
Sad, sad, sad story.
Very, very sad story.
Mental health is important, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation that's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every other day, it's just something happened and now we have to.
Yeah.
If we forgot about that conversation.
Yeah.
Then it's like, yo, let's spark it again type of thing.
No, that's true. That's true.
So I'm just trying to see when this dropped. This is crazy.
How long ago was it? Has it been 3 years already?
You wish.
Has it been 3 years?
Oh God, I can't find this. Whatever, man. But it's been a minute. That, at least that we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, man. Ready to talk some shit.
Oh, there we go. That was that.
That was the last one.
Yes.
That was the last one.
Yeah, so a lot's happened.
A lot.
You know, we are working together now, which is... whoever thought this would happen?
Yeah, who would have thought? Slim Shady would have been something that you would have bought. It's like, listen, we've worked together before, but like not like this.
Not like this. On the same show.
We're on the same show. We were at the same radio station at some point. We're at Power Together.
Yes.
You know what
Power
I mean?
FM.
That was fun and everything, but we were not doing the same show.
We did a segment together. It was a sponsored segment.
Yeah.
That I never got paid for. Or ever enjoyed perks for.
Yeah, weirdly enough.
But you did enjoy perks.
Yes, I did.
Off of that.
Full bouquet.
I didn't even know what that meant.
At that particular time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's like I had already come, it's just like, I didn't come with it, but like I was already doing it at Joy FM.
Right.
So like.
It only made sense.
It's like I went and spoke. It's like, listen, I'm not going back to start paying for my own TV. Come on now. Yeah. And then one phone call was made, and, you know, boom, it was done.
That's all
the
man there needed to do.
That's all he needed to do.
Look, we're recording outside. This is, first of all, can we appreciate the situation that we're in right now?
It's just like we're outside, literally.
And not just cold
because,
as balls,
yeah.
And we're recording outside.
We're recording outside, literally outside. So if you hear anything, like, if you can pick that up,
we got braziers here because it's cold as hell.
We have cars driving past.
Yeah.
Cars that need a service, apparently. God damn it.
Oh, yeah. You heard that. Like, that's the thing.
Can you listen to that?
Oh, yeah. That. Wow.
Horrible.
That is a horrible sound.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, we've set ourselves up. We're at my house. It's cold as hell. We got braziers here.
Yeah.
Just set ourselves up outside. And yeah, this should be fun. I would say every podcast we've recorded, not in the usual place we'd record, was usually quite interesting.
Remember big fact.
When we were at Yo Maps' studio.
Yes.
That
was interesting.
We had an audience there.
We had an audience. People were listening. Around to listen to us talk.
And we were just going off.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun, man. That was fun.
The other one we had an audience for was at KJ's house. And Cree J was there, I believe. That was that music history podcast episode.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Oh, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Wow, we recorded at KJ's. Yes.
We recorded at KJ's. Cree J was there and his brothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were chiming in the background, which was interesting.
We've recorded one at Cree J's house as well, right?
Yeah, recorded one at Cree J's house. Just one, right? Yeah, it was just one. I was about to head out to Kawe, and we're like, yo, let's record an episode before you leave.
Yeah.
I think that's it. And then this one, I think. No, then we recorded at TAP Studio.
TAP Studio. That was once as well, right?
That was once as well.
Yeah, that was fun.
That studio was hot, though.
It was extremely hot.
Sweating
and dark
all the time. Yeah.
And, you know, like, he was like, you guys are still in here recording. It's like, yeah.
Like, this is what we do.
Because we went past 2 hours. I remember that.
Yeah, we did. So, yeah, I think that episode we did, I was still working at Rock FM.
Yeah.
I was still the station manager there.
Yes, give us a progress report, sir.
Yeah.
A report. I don't know if it's a progress report.
You could call it that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Like, there are just certain things that happen that just prompt you to want to make a move.
Big fact.
Yeah. And, I mean, I won't go into detail about it, but it was, you know me and how I am when I'm working in an environment. I'm focused on that particular project.
Yeah.
And not easily swayed or anything. So for me to make that leap, it was just, it's something I felt I needed to do. It was time. And I could feel it, you know, it wasn't even like I had something secured already when I was making that move. It was just like, you know, like, nah, like, it's just, this is it. Like, I think I've done my part, and it's just time for me to make a step, you know.
On principle.
Yes, especially that. Because I could have stayed, and it could have just been, you know, just to get a check. I feel. That's how I feel. And that's not how I operate, you know what I mean? Like, it would be
as
unfair for them.
As a creative, no one operates basically or solely off of a check.
Yeah.
Or wanting a check.
Right.
There should be satisfaction in you going and grinding it out. And you can go 2 days on minimal sleep.
Right.
And you're still satisfied.
Right.
You know, and that should, everybody has got, and I don't want to kind of like look like I'm saying anything about anybody else. Mm. Like, if you're an accountant and you see numbers, you should, you know, have a little semi-orgasm. Like,
to a certain extent.
To a certain extent. You should be excited
about
that.
That's what keeps
you
alive, man.
That's what keeps you alive. That's what you do. It's a passion. You love it.
Yeah.
If you're a doctor, you know what I mean? When you see someone who is hurt, mangled, in pain.
It should move you.
It's just like, in the next, I don't know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, three months, maybe a year, I want to look back at this situation and say, it's like, oh, wow, I contributed to this person walking again.
Yeah.
To this person, you know, does that, you know, can you equate that into a check?
No, you can't. There's just certain things you can't buy. Like, certain things money can't buy.
Yeah.
But all in all, my experience there was very fruitful. You know, I enjoyed doing radio there. It was a different experience. It was almost like just stepping into a whole different world.
Yeah.
And tapping into a whole different audience that probably never heard of me before.
Yeah.
and, you know, just moving up the ranks, became head of DJs and then became, you know, station manager, which some people go their whole career and will never know what that's like.
Yeah.
You know, it was very challenging, you know, I think.
Like me. I don't even think I want to be a station manager anymore.
I don't think I ever want to be a station manager again. That's and you know, I think, you know what, I would have probably enjoyed it a little more if we weren't going through a pandemic that hit everyone's pockets. You know what I mean?
Everybody. Like everybody.
It meant, if I was meant to work at maybe like 30%, I had to like triple that, you know, like work harder than everyone else, to just try as much as possible to keep things steady. You know, it was, that's why I'm saying it was very challenging. But then in hindsight, I'm just like, whoa, like I learned so much, you know what I mean? Like, so if I would ever put myself in that position again, I would know how to navigate.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing with the pandemic is, right, like, when was the last time the world went through such a thing where wherever you went, you were experiencing the same thing? It's been probably, what, the Spanish flu? Did the Spanish flu even reach everyone?
No.
You know, like...
Spanish flu, bird flu, all of those different things never got
here.
To the extent...
So this is the first time that something of that magnitude has happened. And so it was like, we have to think off of our feet. Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to switch things around? Like, what's going to, you know, rake in revenue? Like, oh, we've lost this client. Okay, there's this person involved. Like, they want to get involved, but they don't know how to advertise because, like, we're in a pandemic. And then also some people are just so uncertain. They don't want to spend money.
Yeah.
So convincing them was just, yo, look, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes. You know,
because then there's the human element. There's people who, yo, like, yes, there's this, but there's...
Need to pay bills.
Got these things that need to be taken care of.
Yes.
So it was quite something to deal with. But then again, like, you just never... Some of these things, you never know how to handle them until you actually go through it and experience it. You know what I mean? So if there's... You know, this pandemic goes away and another one pops up, you know, in the near future or something.
God forbid.
You know, God forbid, you know. But if anything else would happen and would, you know, shake things up and I would find myself in a position where I needed to do something, I think I would definitely know, at least have an idea of how to navigate. So, that journey was interesting.
So, like, let me put it this way, right? It's kind of like if you've been in training or something, right? Mm. And then, you know, maybe you're playing soccer and then you're training for a bit, you know, you're training doing the normal trainings and all of those different things, right? The normal trainings like you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if it's 3 hours a day, you're doing 3 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, or you get moved to somewhere else and, you know, the regimen changes. It's like, no, here we don't work out or we don't train for 3 hours. We train for 7 hours.
Right.
That's standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's standard. And that could be that one club that just decides to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're going to go from four back to a 4 hour club, you're like, 4 hours, that's it? You guys are done?
Yeah.
It's like I still have, you know. Couple more hours in the tank.
Still got
3 more hours in the tank. And it just makes you handle stuff better. So that even if you went 1 hour extra, it looks like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's going above and beyond.
Right, right.
And we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
About, you know, you, me, you know, our friends that have worked at Power and all of these different things. And it's like, when you go to a certain place that it's like... probably will pay you more for doing less of the work.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier. So, like, even when you do what you're supposed to do or what you were taught to do, it feels natural. And then to everybody else, it seems like you're going above and beyond.
Right, but like, you know,
it's just like, I'm not going above and beyond. I'm just doing what I've always done. And that's just it. Yeah.
Yeah. The work ethic we picked up at Power FM was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like we're still operating on that level and even more now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, every different institution just has its own, you know, like it's, you learn something and you can use that experience, you know, wherever you go to after that. So, yeah. So Hot FM now. This is huge for me. You know, like I remember walking from home into town when Hot FM was still in town.
Yeah.
Just trying to get an audition.
Yeah.
Get there and I'm like, I'm told, oh, the person you're supposed to see is Muka. And Muka is only here in the morning.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So I'll be back tomorrow. So walk back home.
Yeah.
Then walk back into town the next day. Oh, he was here like 5 minutes ago. You just missed him.
Yeah, yeah.
Come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Leave. Come back the next day. Oh, he didn't come to work today.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, damn. Is this just a sign that this is just not like a thing? Like I shouldn't be, you know? Oh, my goodness. And for me, like I always wanted to work at Hot FM, you know what I mean? Because like, you know, great, just the reputation and
it's a big platform.
Major platform, what they've been able to build over the years. And so the lesson, like I was really thinking about this. I'm just like, man, like sometimes that thing that you want so bad is just, you're just not ready for it at that time. And really when I think of it, I probably wasn't ready for it at that time.
Yeah, true.
You know, and also there was just no space on the station at the time, I guess. You know what I mean? So certain things just need to happen.
Yeah, I've auditioned for every radio station probably in Lusaka that was there 11 years ago. And if it's still there now, I probably audition. Yeah,
me too.
Hon FM.
Okay, not Hon FM.
I did. I went there.
I didn't go to Hon FM.
I went there. I've auditioned for Hot twice.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I wasn't picked both times. The first time was back in the day. You know what I mean? I had just done my first audition at Phoenix. So, you know, I was kind of confident.
Right.
I wasn't kind of confident. I was confident. You know, it's like, oh, if someone as experienced as when people spoke about people like Mrs. Pemba.
Right.
They spoke about her in high regard. Like the legends of that time spoke about her in high regard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, if I was able to sit in a room for 1 week and just glean off of her knowledge and what she knows and all of these different things, and she could coach us for 1 week in a workshop, you know, I was like, I can walk away from this with this certificate from Radio Phoenix. And then anybody else I would go to, Flavor FM, those are students of Mrs. Pemba and Errol Hickey.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they would be able to see that and respect it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every place I went after that was just like, oh, you sound really good. We'll call you back.
And they never did.
And they never did. You sound really good. They'll call you back. Never did. But, you know, all of that for me, I was just like, it's like when you look back at it, in hindsight, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be. What was I going to be doing on the Copper Belt right now?
Yeah.
On Flavor or Yar. You know what I mean? Like, what was I going to be doing?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would have worked my way up to station manager, whatever, whatever. But, like, maybe I wouldn't have been as hungry as I am till this day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, there's certain things that I look at and I'm like, this was not meant for me and whatever. I came back here. I was done doing auditions. I had done 1,000,001 auditions and got picked up by an upcoming radio station that was doing, you know, testing at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
Did my audition, just didn't even practice, didn't do anything because I had done so many auditions already.
Yeah.
I just walked in, did my thing, and they were like, oh no, just wait. They spoke, I think W Star was there, Gerald Shower was there, owner of Prime TV, Joy FM, and I think Zachariah Banda was there too. And they were just like, you sound good, we want you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this was going to be another disappointment.
Yeah. The usual.
The usual shit. You know? But like, and that's how I got in and that's how I got my foot in the door. And it's like, now, here we are doing a primetime show on
The biggest radio station in Osaka.
in Zambia.
Yeah.
In the country.
You know what? Like, I really think of it like, I auditioned at QFM, you know, auditioned.
I think I got the call, by the way, at Q.
Oh, you did?
I just didn't understand it.
What do you mean?
Because I went there, again, this is after, you know, it's like after the backdrop of Phoenix.
Right.
Went there, I think the very next week. OJ auditioned me. I remember that. Got a call on a Sunday. And it was actually Thrill who called me.
Okay.
Sunday. And I was drinking and whatever. And then he said something about... I don't know how he phrased his... whatever it is that he was telling me. But it was almost like, it's like, you didn't make it. I want to see you. Come through to the station. And I was like, so what does he mean?
He probably wanted to use his influence to push you.
I don't know. But like, and it's like later on, that's when I was like, it's like he said, come through to the station.
Oh, so you were drunk, so you don't remember the conversation? I don't remember
the conversation properly.
Damn, man.
And I never went. I never went to Q.
Was this when Q was Q?
Yes. When Q was Q.
Yeah. Q was, my goodness.
That
was dramatic, amazing radio. Morning. Yeah.
Dramatic and Peaches in the Morning.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was great radio. When I think of like all the steps that needed to be taken to get to this point, like I'm happy with every decision that's been made so far. You know what I mean? Like there absolutely is no regret. Because like every single, you know, station that I've been at, I've learned something that, you know, it's just like I put it all together into like this melting pot that like shapes the kind of broadcaster I am, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also it's just it's fun to be able to do a radio show with a friend.
Yeah.
A real friend, not just like, you know what I mean? Like,
not just,
it's different.
Someone you have to develop, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's learn each other first.
Yeah. The thing is already there.
Exactly. Like, there's absolutely no need for that. But yeah, you know, I've been a bit rusty. Uh-huh. Was off radio for like 2.5 months.
Yeah. You're at the bottom of a bottle.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like, it's like if a player gets injured, before they start playing a full match.
Big facts.
They need to be, you know, maybe play a few 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there.
Yes.
And then you work your way back to, you know.
To the full 90 minutes and then some.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just that this week, I don't know, man, that insecticide poisoning I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Really, really messed me up, man.
Yeah.
Cockroaches crazy in the house, needed to fumigate. But, you know, after fumigating, didn't desert the place, was literally just in the place itself and breathed in all that stuff, and that affected my lungs, and
I've got
flu like symptoms now, so pardon me if my voice sounds horrible.
Yeah, I don't think it sounds horrible. It's just, you know, you have to clear your throat here and there.
Yeah, you know, every now and then.
Every now and then. But like, listen, it's again, this is something that I didn't think would ever happen, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even when I started dropping the hints, it's like, right. Yo, somebody is a free agent. You need to have a contract.
Right.
Let's try and make things happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, I'm not the most influential person at the station. You know what I mean? But like, I know the influential people who can influence situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all it takes. You know.
Well, something that people don't know is the deal was meant to have happened back in 2019.
There you go.
If not 2019. Was it 2019? Might have been.
We're in 2021.
Or it was early 2020. I can't remember the timeline, but there was, you know, like conversations that were had and all that. This is the first time I'm revealing this. But it didn't fall through for certain reasons, and yeah, it was actually 2019. towards the end of 2019.
You know,
met up with people and everything, but yeah, ended up just staying, and that's when the promotion happened, and so that's why I'm like, it's fine, because I actually got, I have that on my resume, you know what I mean? And
yes,
I worked my butt off, man. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
I think we've caught up from where we were before. I mean, when we recorded our last episode.
Recorded and whatever.
Yeah. So it's been a year since we dropped something.
Yeah. Professionally, at least. It's been a year.
Yeah. It's been a year since we dropped something.
Was I doing Drive Time the last time we recorded? I was.
Yes, you were.
Okay, I was.
Okay. I think you were, yeah. Cool. Yes, you were doing a Drive Time show.
There you go.
So, what the hell's been happening?
Aish.
What do we need? Is there anything that has happened that we need to cover?
Worthy of note?
Yeah.
Politically, I think for me, like, one of the biggest ones has been Chishim Makambwili going back to the PF.
Oh my God.
For me, like,
I
felt like this one was even bigger than GBM going back. Because GBM, you know, is a flaky dude.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts him. Well, I don't know who trusts him.
I think it's just he's never, I don't think he's ever had the impact that a Chishim Makambwili has had.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I guess that's why that was much bigger. And then it was also big because the honorable minister himself said that he would be insane if he ever went back to the PF. He literally said,
honorable minister,
you could say that, he said he'd be insane if he ever went back to the PF.
Yeah.
And now he's back.
Yeah.
So are they questions of sanity that we should be throwing into the basket or just considering in conversations, or do we just forget as he expects us to?
No. And that's the thing, right? You know when a car is in a car crash, right?
Right.
It's almost like, take it to engineers and mechanics and whatever, they look at it, and then they'll look at it and they'll say, this car is a write-off.
Right.
Basically, it's like there's nothing that we can do.
Beyond repair.
It's beyond repair. And even if we repaired it, it would cost more than the value of the car itself.
Right. So it makes no sense.
It makes no sense for us to actually, for you to put money into that.
Right.
If you want to do it for sentimental reasons, that's on you. That's your pocket. You know, do it. As long as we get paid, it's fine. But in a situation like this, and it's just like, if there's ever a career that is a write-off for me, in my books, Chimba Kambwili.
Beyond repair.
Because it's beyond repair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's beyond repair because of the things that you've said.
Yeah. He went in, man.
The most craziest things.
Yeah.
Craziest things. And for me, to a certain extent, I believed it. I think he believed what he said.
I think so
when
too.
He said it.
I think we had conversations about him, and we're like, yo, like, he's actually gaining people's trust.
Yes.
Because people wanted someone that could stand up and call things for what they were. And he was that guy.
Kind of look like you're using Wasata's, you know, you're using Wasata's rhyme book to inspire yourself to do what he did. Not in the same way, but in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you are the brainchild of what Wasata used to say.
Right. And he's got a very commanding voice, so.
He does. He has a commanding voice.
Yeah. He's just got like the
same, yes, the same late sarcasm, the same, I don't care.
And he
no
can connect with the street dudes.
Yes.
He can
yes.
connect with like
yes.
the middle class. Like, he's got that quality.
Yes.
So he had all that in his bag, like in his arsenal. But then, and you know what? what made people like him even more? Remember when he was having those legal troubles?
Yes.
His wife got dragged into like a police van. And
yes.
People were like, yo, we're riding with this dude.
Yes.
And then a few months down the line, these are the same dudes that you're hanging out with now? Like
literally in the same boat with.
Right. Like what was...
They roughed up your wife?
Bro.
And your child.
Now, I'm just wondering, like, do they have his nudes or something? Like, what do they have on you? Because it's just, for you to be that vocal, like, you were going in on these people. Like, you, and like we said, it looked like he really believed what he was saying. So, what do they have on you? Or what do you need so bad that you go ahead and neglect everything you said, turn your back on everything you said, and go to the people you say are corrupt.
Yeah.
You called them thieves.
Yeah.
They're corrupt. They're not fit to lead the country.
You said you had receipts on them.
Yes. And you said you were going to drop them receipts.
Yeah.
Didn't really drop them.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. So now it's just like, tell me, like, try to put yourself in his shoes. What is it that would make you want to go back to people that you've talked bad about? And clearly the people you talk bad about, like for them to bring you back in, for me, I'm like, maybe they understand what this is going to do for your reputation. And they might just cast you out at any moment. Because if the people don't trust you and they're talking crap about you and whatever, it's like,
yeah.
What use are you to them?
Listen, for me, what I think is, if you didn't give a rat's ass about the people in the first place, it's very easy. Well, it's not very easy. You have a price, basically.
Right.
You have a price.
You showed your ass.
Yeah, you have a price. So it's almost like it's like an example, but like it is what it is.
Mm.
Like when Indians are trying to take over Madras. You know, this is an area right here in Lusaka.
Right.
So it's like the Indians want to live together.
Mm-hmm.
They might not get along, but like they want to be in the same area. So you're a black person, you own a house in Madras. They'll come to you one day and they'll be like, 250,000 kwacha cash. You'll be like, no. They'll come back next month, 350,000 kwacha cash. You'll be like, no. And then they'll keep coming back. Until they give you an offer that you will take.
That you can't refuse.
That you can't refuse.
Mm.
And then they've taken your house.
Yeah.
Whether you use the money productively or not, that's not up to them. You know what I mean? But it's almost like there are certain people that I know for a fact. Till this day, it's like my mom's churchmate. She's been offered crazy amounts of money to move. She's like, no, this is my family home. I'm not moving.
Mm.
They keep on coming back. Every single year they come back. Every single year they come back with a higher amount than they gave you last month.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not moving. This is, and then it's like on the left of her, all the way to the corner, it's Indians. The other side is Indians. They are breaking down houses and building upstairs cribs and whatever.
Right.
But like she's like, I'm not moving.
This is my house.
I'm not moving.
Right.
So if you love your place that much and you're like, it's like, I'm going to live this for my kids. And that's not the only house she has. She has other houses as well. But like, it's like, this is my house.
Yeah.
For me. My children will take it up later on. If they want to sell it, then that's up to them. Because then they already have other houses.
Right.
So if your goal or your struggle, your motivation to do politics was not the people at the beginning, you will have a price.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
This is like, and I've said this before, it's like I'll say this about Pastor K. I'm not saying he's the most perfect politician ever, but like, listen, he was like, there are certain things, it's like one of his mentors is Dr. Nevis Mumba.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I don't follow him because of the right things he's done. Because he's a very articulate man. He's a very intelligent man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, he's made mistakes. He made mistakes. right. when he was vice president. He messed up. He could have done that better. But like, he left his people to join the MMD. And then after that, when that didn't work out, Zambians have just switched off from Nembus Mumba for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, even Frederick Chiluba was like, listen, Nembus is going to be president one day, but he will be a very old man.
Oh, wow.
So for us, for people to like start forgetting, it's like, oh, no, he this man had his own party. Yeah. And then he left his party, got his people, and was like, let's go join the MMD just because you were made vice president.
Yeah.
So it's like, listen, so Pastor Kes told me, it's like, listen, the people, he's been given offers, basically. It's like, come here. There's this. We will give you this.
Right.
Make the switch. And they will keep coming back. They don't stop. So if you're not content with, I don't know, maybe driving an Ipsum or whatever it is,
so it just,
and you can grind it out and all of that and still pay your bills and whatever, and you're not looking to make 1.5 million in a month and whatever,
right?
You know, it's just like, it's coming. It's a matter of time. It's going to come. It might take me 5 years or 10 years, but like, when people look at my CV and it's like, this person has been rocking with these guys for 10 years straight.
Yeah.
He hasn't folded. He hasn't done anything. You'll be like, yo, man of integrity. Put him here.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that someone would do.
Yeah. And I guess the core of it is just, it's just the motive. Like, are you really the man of the people?
Yes.
Like, I'm pretty sure the late Michael Sata was offered so many deals.
Yes.
To join the ruling party at the time because he was causing them problems.
Come back home.
Yeah.
It's a come back home type situation.
Just to shut him up and everything. They probably offered him crazy amounts of money.
Yes.
But he stuck to it because he's like, yo, like, I'm doing this for the people. It's not for me.
It's not for
me. I represent them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that principle was difficult. He might even have considered it, because sometimes you may be tempted, but then when you really sit down and think of it, it's like, nah, like, I'm bigger than this. You know what I mean? Like, it's about the people. So what Chimbakambwili proved is,
he's not about the people.
He's doing it for himself, because if it was for the people, he wouldn't even care if he's going to be president whenever. It's just like, I'm just going to continue, you know, pushing and speaking facts.
Yeah.
You know?
Because for me it's one of those things. It's, even if I never get to be president, I will still be able to talk and say what I need to say.
Right.
I will still Bernie Sanders the heck out of whatever it is that's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, I would still say, it's like, this is wrong. You can't do this. This is wrong. Ah, you're not the president. Doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
This is wrong.
Right.
So even if I decide, it's like, okay, listen, I've done all of this service to the Zambian people and whatever, and I can't stand as a presidential candidate anymore. Even if it's Haga in the HDM, he should still be on the platform saying, it's like, this is wrong. Right. You can't do this. You can't treat people like this.
Mm-hmm.
Us as the Haga in the HDM and Friends Foundation, we would do this.
Yeah.
In Mpika, we'll build a hospital. We'll hire the doctors and we'll pay them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you should be doing if you care about the people.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you will do what Chimbakambwili has done.
Yeah, man. Like, even if your motivation is just, like, even if you're just hungry for power, like, are you at least going to at least fake it? You know what I mean? Like, or if you're being offered a deal, why don't you accept the deal that at least keeps you in good graces with people? Because if those people decide to toss you out, you're left with nothing. And even when you come back and beg and whatever, people are just like, they're done with you. You know what I mean? Like, people are they're so switched off from you because, like, because you turned your back on them.
Yeah.
You made a move that was good for you.
Yes.
And not the people. You know, because now you got a muzzle. You can't really bark out the stuff that you were you know?
Yeah. We've had this conversation before on this particular podcast, right?
Right.
Felix Mutati.
Oh, yeah. He's another one.
Very vocal, very intelligent.
Yeah.
Was seen mostly as a professional who knew exactly what he was doing. Mm. And as far as economists were concerned, yeah, he was a pivotal mind to, you know, to basically adding a voice to that. And then he had an advantage of being able to understand the economics and being able to express himself mm-hmm. articulately.
Mm-hmm.
And to a point where it's like, oh, it's not like we're looking to hear things like this from the finance minister or the commerce and trade minister. Mm-hmm. It's just he knew so much. And then when he spoke, he sounded very palatable. It
right.
was, it's like, okay, you know, I can listen to him. And it's like, oh. And then in the back of your head, you start thinking, it's like, oh, I wouldn't mind him as a president.
Yeah.
Because he understands so many things. You know what I mean?
And he built a reputation for a long time.
He started yeah. building a reputation. And then what happened?
He got appointed as Minister of Finance.
Minister of Finance. Come here.
Under
come
the PF.
Here. Under the PF. Yeah, MMD, but come here.
Yeah. We're an inclusive party.
Inclusive party. But like then, you report to the president of the PF.
Yeah.
It's the PF government.
Yes.
It's not the MMD government. It's the PF government.
You're in those rooms.
You're in those rooms. Now.
Yeah.
All right? So like then what happens? You're finance minister for a while. You present a budget. And then after that, they take you to trade, you know, commerce and trade and industry.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're laid off.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then it's like then.
He's gone.
The credibility that you had built up.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone because it's like, oh, now people have seen, it's like, oh, you're not a stand-up person.
Mm.
You took a job and you took a position that benefited you,
mm.
not the people of Zambia.
And maybe in his mind, he was probably thinking, I'm going to do this for the people, no, but then like, probably didn't think of the
you're
optics.
Too much, yeah, you're too much of a politician. And it's like, I think of the...
He's a leader.
The... Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
a politician's favorite game should be chess.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Think the long game.
Think the long game. It's not just about right here and right now.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to say the Zambian people, blah, 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 blah. People give you lip service, they smile in your face, and they stab you in the back. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And that's just what it is.
Yeah. So now you're out here looking like, yo,
yes.
You failed to handle things that pertain to the economy. So... If you were to lead a party and become president, you probably would ruin the economy.
Yeah.
So that's now what the narrative
because
becomes.
Because your CV is what? You're a finance minister.
Yeah.
And then you were removed as finance.
You got fired.
If
yeah.
If you were doing a good job,
you would have still been.
You have been yeah. removed.
Yeah.
Because the perspective is everybody is professional, but like no.
Yeah,
people are playing politics here, fam.
People will start looking at you differently.
You will be removed out of the game even based on your actions. People will give you the paper and you write it yourself and then remove yourself from the equation of a top 5 politician.
Yeah.
Top 3 to most likely be president.
Straight.
Give you some money here, there. You have bodyguards behind you, all of these different things. People are playing chess and you don't even know it.
You have no idea
you have
that you're
no
a pawn
idea.
On the board. And now that actually trickles down to what's been happening recently with Maki Tu.
Yes.
And Yo Maps and Mampi. They did a track for the Patriotic Front. And they did a track for the Patriotic Front, which was basically a song saying the current president would win the election and come back, you know, and continue being president. And so there's been a huge backlash that Maki Tu has been facing. Same has gone for Yo Maps. Mampi, not so much. I don't know, because she's probably never taken any political stance in the past. I would like to assume that's why she's not really getting any flack, or it could just be that she may not be the A-lister that she was in the past. But yeah, Maki Tu Mike Hugh's initial reaction to people questioning why he did a political song was, it's just business.
Yeah.
And there was a meme going around on social media. People were making fun of that. But then all of a sudden it became such a serious thing when he kind of put his foot down about, yo, like this, like, you don't tell me what to do. I'm the boss of my career and everything.
Yeah.
And now it's, when you check out his comments, it's just people are going in on him. And this, I guess this could be a great transition from, you know, like the Mutati situation and the Chishimbakambwili situation as well.
Yeah.
Because like there's some credibility that seems to have been lost. So now the question that is being asked is there a way for Makitu to bounce back from this? Or do you think there's enough damage that song has done that he can't connect with people anymore? Like, he can't turn around and still have a career after this?
For me, I think, and I say this, Makitu is one of the most resilient guys out there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's been, I wouldn't say at the top of the game for the longest time, but like he's been pushing to be at the top of the game for the longest time.
You don't think he's ever been at the top of the game?
No. He has been. But like there are times when he's taking dips, you know what I mean?
Still
when
comes back
when,
with
yeah,
something.
Yeah, when Sheffy started popping, people right. were like, oh, Sheffy's better. But like he just stayed to his guns, stayed doing what he liked to do, the type of music that he was like, listen, the people who pay me like me to make music like this.
Right.
And he continued making that. He wasn't trying to be like the super lyrical genius like his brother and whatever it is, you know what I mean? He can still rap his ass off, you know what I mean, and still be, you know, palatable to listen to a, like a hip-hop head like me,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Who can play a Royce the 5'9" and, you know, still want to listen to a Mikey 2 song. He can still tap into that side of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But in a situation like this,
yeah,
when you've been seen at a certain point when Wasata was coming in, right?
Mm.
You look like you were speaking for the people.
Yeah.
Because it's like this, the MMD could have squeezed you. But like you were busy screaming Pabwato.
Yeah.
Before the PF came in. Before that, you know, like you had the copper belt with you. Like people knew what it was with you.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like you were speaking for a political party. It seemed like you were speaking for the people.
Yeah,
like you
this
could
is
gauge,
what the people want.
You could gauge what the people wanted. You could gauge what the wind was at that particular time. And for people to hold you to that standard, it's almost like, it's like, listen, we don't care about the political party. We care about what's going on with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And you seemed like you knew what that was.
Yeah.
Now you're backtracking. You don't look like you know. Even if it's the same political party that we all rooted for then, but like the political party is messing up, and then you're not able to read the wind.
You know climate what I mean? Has changed now. It's not the same as it was before.
Yeah.
The perception has changed, at least.
Yeah. So, you like, know? For me, I feel like people are mad because, like, really? After everything? It's like, do you see the prices of everything?
Mm.
So how are you not speaking for the people? Because you got a bag?
So we know that he signed to Kalandanya Music, which is
KMP,
which is owned by an affiliate of the Patriotic Front.
Who owns it? I don't know who owns it.
The Kalandanya? Isn't that the person? That's their name?
Yeah, I know,
right?
I know his
but
name.
But I just don't know who that person is. I've never seen them before. Maybe I have. But I guess there are clauses in the contracts that, you know, that said they had to perform certain records if they're called upon. That's kind of the story that's going around because, I mean, like you said, like we know Makitu from like on his political stances. I mean, in recent times, like he did a song where he was addressing the president saying, yo, like, we used to talk, you don't talk anymore, there's people are suffering and you don't seem to care. Like, these are things that he said in a song, you know?
You used to take my calls.
Yeah, like, you know, you would take my calls, we would speak, I would tell you, like, you know, what's going on, and you would listen. But now it's just like, it seems like you're distant, you know what I mean? And so from that time to the point at which this new music drops, where you're making, you're saying, oh, this dude is... You're basically saying he's going to rule again. And, you know, if you look at, you know, people, like the things that people are going through and stuff, most people would say that they would want like a change.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the feeling that a lot of people have right now. So for someone who would side with what the majority would say, to now then... You know, side with people that you said we're not taking people's, like, the matters and issues people are going through seriously. For you to go again, to go up and make a record for them, it makes you look like you've done it, Chishimbakambwili, as well. Like, you've turned your back
that's
on
true.
People.
That's true.
And so that's where this backlash is coming from. So now, again, is he able to shake this off and still have something popping for himself? Because this is the same scrutiny that Slap D is going through, but he hasn't really said anything about it.
He hasn't said shit. Because he's smarter than it.
You know? He doesn't have to say anything, but he feels compelled to. So in my mind, it makes me give him a little bit of credit, to the point of, like, he cares what people think.
Or he's emotional.
I mean, if what people are saying evokes emotion out of you, then you care about something to a certain. Because if you didn't, you'd just be moving on and not caring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's the credit I would give him. But the majority of, like, we were going through his comment section, it was just like,
it's nasty.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
It's nasty.
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
bad.
We ain't messing with you anymore. Like, you know, it is what it is. You had a good run. It's done. Like, we're not coming to your shows. We're not buying your music.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just here for you anymore. So now it's like, is he able to bounce back from this?
Listen, for me, in that situation, it's just keep on making the music.
Really?
Keep on making it. It's just like, what else are you going to do? Try and convince me otherwise? No. Because it's like, listen, it's a situation where people's lives are affected. And listen, even on this particular podcast, it's like, we've never told you to go vote for the UPND.
Oh, no.
UPC, ECC. Go vote for the ANC or whatever.
Right.
We've tried to just say, it's like, listen, these are the facts. This is what's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Make your decision. You know?
Right.
Make your decision.
What are you going
through? It's up to you. What are you going
through? If
you're happy, make your decision. Going towards whatever it is that keeps you being happy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We've said certain things on this podcast. It's like, listen, the prices of everything is high.
Mm-hmm.
Or when a politician comes through and says some BS, we just call them out on their BS. We don't tell you to, like, oh no, but what the PAC said is better than what this guy said, so you should probably go and vote on PAC. No.
Right.
No, it's just like, vote for whoever you want to vote for. Vote for who tags at your heartstrings and who is doing the right thing and who says they would do the right thing. And when politicians come through and they are basically forgetting what they said 2-3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, it's a problem. And we try as much as possible to remind you of that particular situation. We had a conversation on radio about what the president said about, you know, the IG.
It's
like, yo, police, you got 6 months. I'm extending your thing for 6 months. Mm-hmm. If you have not restored the confidence of the Zambian people as the police inspector general in 6 months, you're basically out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He still has a job. I mean, you know, this is what the we're recording on the 10th of June. There's still some time left.
Yeah.
But still, like, when you look at what's happened in the last 6 months, like, has the IG put in anything deliberate to instill confidence back into the people?
Yeah.
I would say no.
Uh-huh.
And we opened the phone lines on radio, asked people, and they were giving their personal experiences with the police, and it's still... It's people like, yo, like, it's no. crappy. Like, we don't have a good relationship with the police. You know, when we need them, they're not there. And then when you go back to that incident that happened in December where two innocent lives were lost because a police officer was trigger happy, it's like, at that point, even that 6 month extension to me was just...
Especially because other people got fired and lost yeah. their jobs. And
people around the boss yes. got fired, but the boss himself was kept in place. And when you read the code of conduct when it comes to, you know, use of a firearm by a police officer, there's specific rules that a police officer has to follow. And even when the police officer uses that weapon, it's never aimed to kill. It's just to... you know, disarm you or like to disable so that, you know, if you are posing a threat,
yeah,
they're aiming to kill you. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just slow you down a little bit. That's the way the weapons are meant to be used. You know what I mean? I mean, lethal force would be used when necessary. But in that situation, what the code of conduct says is, when you're deployed to a place, if you're going to fire a weapon, first of all, a junior officer can't fire a weapon in the presence of a superior.
Yeah.
So that superior needs to say, yeah, let the slugs off.
Let's go.
Right?
Yeah.
So now is questions of where were the superiors in this situation? Did they give the go-ahead for these shots to be fired? And was there a threat on that police officer's life for him to want to use that
fire away.
Weapon? And also, one of the rules is before you fire a weapon, you need to warn the subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot if you continue being aggressive.
Warning shot.
You could even do a warning shot, but then you just went for the kill. And it's two people that were killed by a police officer.
Yeah.
Do we know his name? Were the details released of what this guy's name is?
I forget his name. But like, it's like, I think the details were released. No,
at the end of it all, it's just like that lack of accountability. Like, you can see that at that level, and you can make an argument that that's just like a reflection of where things stand, you know. All over the, you know, just the way that the government is structured. It's just like there's a lack of accountability.
Oh,
like,
that's
things
true.
Can happen. And
that's true.
And Zambians are just meant to just move on. Like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Maybe Makitu, to a certain extent, if we're going to take it back there, you probably expected that people won't care after 2 days. They'll move on and want the next trend. People are upset. Like, people are going, like, things have, like, prices of stuff. It's like 100% increment almost on everything.
Yes.
Anything, if something was $80 sometime back, it's like 160 now. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Yes.
Everything's expensive.
Everything is expensive. You know, and listen, again, accountability is everything. You know, accountability is everything. And I'll tell you this, it's like, I like money. I beg your pardon. I love money.
Yeah. We all do.
I love money.
Yeah.
Right? But like, there's also a thing called being content.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I watched a video some time back of like Royce. 5'9", right? It was like, so it's like, oh, when I started in this music business, blah, 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 blah. Dr. Dre was there for me and whatever. I wrote, you know, for him and all of those different things, you know, wrote music for him and whatever. And it was like, I can give you a deal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the number, but like, just indulge me. Let me just say a sec. It's like, I'll give you $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Be part of the label, write for me. You know, I'll produce your stuff, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'll produce you. You know what I mean? I'll mentor you. I'll do whatever it is. But like, it's like he was like, at the same time, another record label was like, we'll give you $1 million.
Right.
Right? So it's like, it's almost like someone offers you, I'm trying to think of an example that would be very relatable, but like soccer terms, right? Let me say Real Madrid calls you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, come, we'll give you $300 million, right?
Right.
And then maybe someone like Mourinho calls you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's like, I'll give you $50 million. But like with that $50 million, I will coach you personally. I will make sure that, you know,
comes
what I mean?
With
you're,
more
you are the best player that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a personal relationship. You're not just part of an institution, you're part of a class that has extracurricular activities, all of these different things.
Right.
It's almost like, it's like, where would you go then? You know what I mean? And, and I think that's what Royce was saying. It's like, I would have learned more from Dr. Dre and less money than $1 million. And it's just a white guy who's calling you because it's like, oh, you have the hottest record in the street. Boom, here's $1 million.
Right.
There's no coaching. There's no, this is what you need to do. This is whatever it is. And, you know, you would have walked away from an experience with Dr. Dre better than you did with all those other guys.
Yeah.
With more money that they gave you.
Right. That's a better deal.
That's a better deal.
Yeah.
That's a better deal.
And that's the deal he took? What deal did he take?
He took the $1 million deal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
He took the $1 million. Because he was like, he went to Dre and asked Dre. And Dre was like, it's like, all right, cool, take the other deal. You know, like, because especially if you're rooting for someone, it's like, and it's like, you're not giving them the money that they're thinking to have.
They deserve. It kind of reminds me of a story that T-Pain told as well, kind of similar. Because, you know, he was being shopped around. A lot of money was being thrown at him. But then Akon offered him a deal that was very affordable. So it was, the thought process of that was, look, I'll work with you. Here's a deal worth this much. It's not a crazy amount. It'll be easy for you to pay back this money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then after that, you will start making your own money. I'm not trying to make money off of you like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to help you type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like how they built their relationship. You know what I mean? So he got a good deal, and he got to work with Akon, who at the time was, I think he was probably up there in like the top three biggest artists in the United States at the time. You know what I mean?
No, facts.
Yeah. So shout out to all these guys doing this. So going back to the political side of things, you know, when people say everyone's got a price, it seems like just something that people just say, but it's like for real. And the repercussions of taking deals that are not good for you are just like, the effects of that are crazy. But then if we were to sympathize with these guys, just to play devil's advocate for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic came through and took away all the show money. Now, we all know, you and I know how most artists behave with money.
Mm-hmm.
They make money at shows and they blow it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe pay some bills here and there, and the rest just goes to chills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it comes and goes. And so, like, when the pandemic came through and wiped out all the shows and they didn't have something to look forward to, I think a lot of artists became very desperate, you know, because it's easy to be like, okay, I got 20K on me right now. I'm just going to go shopping, you know, buy clothes and whatever. And even if I spend all of it, like, I still have those four shows for the rest of the month, and I'll make that money back and more.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of living on a hand-to-mouth type thing. You know what I mean? Like, most of these artists are living like that. When that money comes in, it's gone immediately.
Yeah.
So when the pandemic comes through, wipes out all the shows, you're looking around, you don't know what to do. Maybe you've got some reserves, but those reserves start running out. You know what I mean? Like, pandemic hit in March. All right, cool. I'm going to have money for groceries and rent up until this point. And you're optimistic because at the time we thought, oh, this is probably just going to go away real quick. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then it's 2021 and it's still here. You know what I mean?
True, true, true.
People couldn't go outside. People who did go outside found themselves locked up.
Yeah.
And some people who went outside caught the virus and died. So that just caused, like, you know, the pandemic causing a lot of panic and whatever. So should we cut some slack to these artists for taking these deals because of the situation that they found themselves in? There's no money, and here comes this guy.
Cash cow.
Yeah, he's like,
cash cow.
Here's a million kwacha. I'm not saying those are the exact amounts. I've heard rumors that these are the kind
300 to 800,000 kwacha. Like,
money that you know you won't see from shows. And if you don't have an endorsement deal that's going to bring you any money, then forget it. And then somebody flashes all that money in your face. What do you do?
Again, which artists are these? Let's keep in mind.
It could be the big artists themselves too.
Yeah, we're not talking about J Cash and Alicia Long. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about, you know, like...
So you expect, like, Alpha Mackie 2 and Slap, all these guys to kind of have proper reserves that can see them through.
Yeah, it's because it's like, listen, I've had it on good information where niggas have been, like a nigga who's close to Mackie 2 has been like, it's like, oh no, we were at his property where he's building flat. He's got apartments and whatever.
Right.
In Kitwe or whatever. I don't know if it's Ndola or whatever. You know what I mean? But it's like I've had this conversation. It's like, oh no, we're going to see his property he was building. Da, 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 da. So he's not building for himself to stay in the house.
It's for it's
for rent and stuff. You know what I mean?
Listen, so why would he take that deal then?
Listen, what I'm saying is, and I used the C word. I used content. It's like, are you content with what you have?
Mm.
So if you would drop down to making a 30K a month, that's still a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
You don't have to be flashing everything. You don't have to then go
people
and... People already know you got it. It's just like you could go down from 150,000 a month to 30,000 a month and nobody would know. Because it's like, you have your own house, you don't pay rent. That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It makes a difference.
Like, you're not buying Rolexes, you're not buying whatever. It's just, it's all you have to do. It's just like, just look nice and clean. You can buy cool t-shirts. You can literally have, like, at some point, and I don't think even people remember this, at some point, Slap only wore XYZ t-shirts for the longest time.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was just XYZ through and through. Yeah. But he was pushing his brand, you know what I mean? Nobody looked at him as like, oh, he's a bum-ass nigga. And it's like, nah, he was pushing his brand.
Mm-hmm.
It was XYZ through and through. Now you hear him on all of these different adverts. That was a plan. Yeah. Now he can wear different shirts, not because he's broke or like he was broke then. He was pushing a brand, his brand.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like he's locked in with the corporates and all of these different things. In situations like that, and what I said is like, listen, if you were at a position where you could be like, it's like I can do three shows and make probably 100 grand in a weekend, cool. But are you still okay and content with making 30 grand in a month? Which is more than a large percentage of people make.
You know, that's above average.
That's way above average. And it's just like you can still, you can still have all of your Nikes and whatever. It's just like nobody is looking at your shoes 24/7. Nobody's trying to judge you for, it's just like for jeans that you own. You could own 10 pairs of jeans and have 50 t-shirts and have even the celebrities, the Chris Browns and whatever. It's just like this is, it's like, when I buy a pair of shoes, it's like sometimes I'm on rotation for like 7 sneakers. And then for the whole month. Yeah. And then after that, I'll switch up. I'll switch up after that. Maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, if you wear Jordan 3s or you wear Jordan 1s, like you could have the same pair and it's all brand new ones for 7 days, nobody will know. They could be like, oh, he's wearing the same sneaker. No, it's not. It's a different sneaker each and every single day. But
right,
it's the same because I love it so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, you could have that type of money and still be content and still, as long as your family is good, you're good, you're eating well, all of those different things.
So in relation to Maki 2, what essentially are you saying about
that? I'm saying is, what was the justification? Couldn't have been the money to get the racks.
It was just greed? Because you're talking about basically being content.
Basically. Because it's like, listen, we don't care. You're not starving. You haven't been starving in a long time, Majid.
Yeah, you haven't starved in a while.
You haven't starved in a while. So what would be the justification to take that money and basically risk the fan base that is loyal to you, that would ride and die for you? It's like he posted a picture of him doing a show with Exile.
Yeah.
Do you know how exciting that is to me?
Yeah, Mikey 2 on Exile.
Like, oh, the ticket is like $500. And I'm like, easy peasy. I would look for that money.
Yeah.
I would pay a grand to show up with my person there easily.
Right.
Easily.
That's a good show.
Because that's a good show. That's Israel or Exile performing Siguiado, Mikey 2 coming through, performing all of the hits that he has.
And they've got hits together as well.
Yes, they've got hits together as well. And not just him performing those things, but like actually, because it's like Mikey 2 is one of my favorite performers. Like he actually gets on stage and he throws down.
Yeah.
He's not just walking on from, you know.
Yeah.
From one side of the stage to another. He's
two dimensional.
Yes.
Or one dimensional.
Just like he's throwing down, he's dancing, he's doing all of those different things. He's saying people to the crowd, saying things to the crowd. Like I would show up for the show. But like for people to be like, it's like, oh, tell us when you perform. When you finish performing, we'll pull through. After you finish performing, that's we'll crazy, pull through, man, to watch XM.
Oh man. People are crazy, bro. That really cracked me up when I saw that. You know, it's like, but, you know, is it, how far does it go? Like, is some of it just trolling us? Are these people just trying to get a reaction out of him?
No.
Or do some people really feel that way? No,
people feel that way.
It's crazy, man.
People feel that way.
Crazy. Man, like, it would be really sad if this is it. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a new single, so we got something to gauge.
Yes.
What it's,
but, like, there
what
was
they,
also another gonna, video that he be. Dropped all the time. And then he was complaining because of the views.
He had 18,000 views.
Yes, he had 18,000 views. And it's just like, yeah. People are deliberately doing that shit. People are deliberately just like, it's like, oh, you did the song for the PF and whatever it is. And like they go and dislike. And I was saying, it's like, do you know how hard it is to go on YouTube and dislike more than you like?
Yeah. Is that the situation with that?
No, not with that song, but like the other one, it's like the political song that was dropped, like it had a whole bunch of dislikes.
Let me just see how many views this new song he dropped has.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Brrr.
pardon all that coughing. It's not COVID.
Allegedly.
Okay. So he has a new song called Sancho. He dropped the video at the time that we're recording this, like about 5 hours ago. He's got 18,000 views. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
1 month ago, the Danger Zone reunion got like about 500,000. Dropped a song with Dimple Williams. It's got
362,000.
Kabotoro.
Kabotoro is how many?
That was 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
That's 362,000.
That's dope.
Charity benefit performance, 43K. Move freestyle, 37K. Let's talk about it. 53K. Okay. His song with Yo Maps has 2.3 million.
Which one is that?
A la Balanza.
Okay.
So his numbers are not looking bad right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see how this, the new video will do as time goes by. I think some of it might be trolling. I think he still has a chance to still be out here.
Listen, the thing is, it's like, and it was his last post, and that's what I read when we were on radio and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That was his last post. And his last post was like, okay. It's like, sorry to everybody I offended or whatever.
And yeah.
I'm like, okay. So, like, you feel away then.
He does. And that's,
like, you feel away.
And that's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, do we cut him some slack for caring at least?
Yeah. To whom much is given, much is expected. Luke 12:48. That's the Bible for everybody who doesn't know that. And I am quoting here. This is on his page, right?
Mm.
If you have heard that line of wisdom, you know it means we are held responsible for what we have. Okay?
Right.
If we have been blessed with talents, wealth, knowledge, time, nafimbi, it is expected that we benefit others. But Hove said it best. You can't help the poor if you are one of them. Sorry to everyone I let down. Hope one day you will understand. Sancho comes out, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is now the new song. Is now
the new song. You know what I mean? So it's a plug to a new song and whatever it is. But like, it's like he feels the need to say sorry. But like it's sorry, you know, we know the sorry, what it means and whatever. But like, he's still apologizing.
Yeah. And I feel the content in this music that he's dropping, the Sancho, because he's talking about parents and all of that. Like, it's very, you know, dropping Bible verses, thanking parents for being there. Yeah,
I haven't listened to it.
The song?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You should. I mean, that's what the it's like saying thank you to people that have been there for him. And that includes the fans, I guess. So, like I said, the content is telling, like why he would do this at this time, because of the backlash he's getting.
Yeah.
It's kind of trying to balance things out. It's like the way R. Kelly would drop a gospel record when something crazy, some crazy scandal would happen. And then people would dance and forget. I'm like, we'll see if people will be able to forget about this particular situation here.
I mean, we'll see. And that's what it's all about. It's about trying to see. And if it happens, it happens. You know what I mean? Like, I got nothing. I got no personal problems with Mikey too.
Neither do I.
It's like I want him to win in every aspect of his life. But also, it's one of those things. It's like, listen, you have to recognize the power of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make certain sacrifices.
I mean,
if you don't do that, it doesn't mean your family will suffer.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's like, it doesn't mean your family will suffer. People will still call you. Companies will still call you. And then other companies will actually stop calling you when they see that you're politically affiliated like that. But if they see you like you're a hero's champ or whatever, you're Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Robin Hood doesn't mean, when you say Robin Hood, it's just like he was robbing rich people to give back to the poor. Do you think he was being nice? No. He was beating up, punching people in the face, and, you know, shooting people with arrows, rich people with arrows, who had children and all of these different things. But like, it's like he gave back to the poor. That doesn't make him a righteous man. You know what I mean? It just seems like, yo, you're speaking for the people. The minority is larger than, you know, the minority is smaller than the majority, and the majority will root for you. And that's what it is.
Yeah, no, he's like a, he's a victim of his own beliefs.
Big facts.
You know, like he put himself out there. Yeah. He made himself what he is, which is a person that spoke for the people. I mean, remember we were joking about like, yo, like, oh, I will address the nation. There was something that was posted in the group where he was like, oh, there's a lot of injustices going on here, and I'm going to address the nation about what's happening and whatever. Mm. I just found the notion of an artist saying they were going to address the nation kind of funny. But then he did go on to like speak about some of these issues, like political issues. Yeah. And so that's what's pissing people off. It's like, you did this. Like, you decided to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, you decided, yeah, I'm going to be the voice that will speak on behalf of people.
Yeah.
And then you turned around and, you know, did a track.
For because them. I don't it's just like listen. For me, when he was talking about Basata and everything, I didn't think he was speaking for a political party. I thought he was speaking for the people.
Yeah.
And then it just so happened that the political party that he was, or his opinions and the political party that was there at that particular time was also saying the same things. So, like, obviously, it only makes sense to kind of like ride on the same bandwagon. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's okay. And you can do that. And then if they start messing up, you're still supposed to, and you're able to correct them. And then if they go off the bandwagon, you're just like, yo, you simply say, it's like, yo, deuces.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm rocking with the people. I'm not rocking with you anymore. You guys have become big-headed and whatever it is. So I'm not with you anymore. I'm with the people. It's never been about, it's never been about a political party.
Shouldn't have signed that deal, I guess.
And, like, that's where you see the differences. And I was just like, and I was like, wait a minute. He's with KMP, right?
Yeah. Slap D's with KMP.
Yes. And then I was like, with
KMP.
I was like, yo, Chef Fee is not.
Yeah, he's on Nexus.
He's on Nexus.
And none of the guys outside have done any political songs.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hello.
And they get to keep their integrity. Goodness.
And that's what it is. So, yeah, anyway.
Your reputation is everything. That's all you have as a man. You know what I mean? When it gets shaken a little.
When Zambians start writing you off, it's bad. You know what I mean? JK is still held. This is like responsible for some of the votes that we went to the PF because of the song he did.
The song was so good.
It's just like, listen.
That song was so good.
Yes. So, to a certain extent, when you look back at it, in hindsight, as JK, did it benefit him in 2021? Who's booking him for a show?
He's not performing anywhere.
Listen, it's like Exile. People are as... Listen, Exile's got hits upon hits upon hits upon hits. I would pay Exile 20,000 kwacha to perform just songs from his first album.
Yeah.
If he adds in anything else that he's done with anybody else, that's up to him.
Yeah.
But like, I would pay him 20,000 kwacha just to perform his first album. To this day.
It's a classic, man.
It's a classic album. It's performed 7 songs, my brother. 7 songs. With a live band so that you can extend the songs. You know how
it goes. You know the vibes. Yeah.
So that you can let the bass guitar breathe for 2.5 minutes.
Right.
He's like, hey, I don't remember this part of Sikuyadid. But like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a brand who's going to be called over and over and over again until he's whatever how old. Because there's always going to be another person who's like, Sikuyadid, that album. So lucky someone wants to hear that anytime, any day.
That's facts.
You know what I mean? So is that worth? You want to put a nail in the coffin? Just go to Exxon and tell him, it's like, listen, we'll give you 550 million kwacha. Just make us a song. Because you already know the hook is fire.
Of course. You know he's going to lace that.
The hook is already done. And the song is the hook.
Yeah.
And then before that, put maybe a makitu, put a slap.
Yeah.
And then an Exxon hook.
That's it.
The election is won already. Yeah. It's won. We've won the election.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
man.
Done.
Yeah.
You know. But, like, there are people who are like, it's like, nah, it's okay. Let me just make my money. Let me make my 15 grand, my 20 grand here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My family is eating. I'm not the most expensive person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking for the finest things. I am looking for the finest things, but, like, I'm not, you know. I'm getting them. I'm getting them. I'm okay here.
Yeah. Hey man, we're gonna have plenty of these politically themed conversations because this year, you know, we're going to the polls.
Yeah,
you know, I thought I lost my NRC and my voter's card for maybe 3 months. Like, I did not know where they were, and I was getting worried. I'm like, yo,
why would you play games like that, bro?
Bro. That's that thing when you ain't cleaned a place for a while. You know what I mean?
Have you seen the price of a Big Bite 2? Why would you play games like that?
When I saw that, that's what motivated me. I was like, I need to find it. And I found it, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, well, $43? We're not doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So at least, you know, I found them and they're in a very secure place. I can't wait. This is going to be my first time voting. I've said this before.
Yeah.
I think my older brother is going to be his first time voting.
What?
Yeah. He's him too. He's going to be the first time.
Okay.
Not Brian. Charles.
Charles, yeah.
Brian's been voting. But like, Charles and I have never voted before. We're going to vote now.
You guys just didn't give a shit about the country?
Well, wait. I was Jehovah's Witness. I don't know what his excuse was. that's me.
Hey, right? Okay.
Not about him.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I think my sister as well. I think we've just never been ones to go line up and do that. So all of us have voters' cards. We're going out.
Listen,
we're going to vote.
I'm registered
at a school nearby.
And that's the thing. Listen.
And I know a lot of people who are voting for the first time.
For the first time, you know what I mean? I've been voting for a while. I've been voting for a while.
Did you vote in the SATA election that he won?
Yes.
You voted for him?
Yes. That was me. I did that. What are you talking about, bro? I did that. I remember this. It's like I did that. The wife was voting for the first time as well.
Right.
I voted in the previous election. I didn't want to go and vote again.
Right.
Because the previous election, I felt it. Do you know, this is like, do you remember the feeling that you used to have when Zambia was playing?
Yeah.
When it almost seemed like it's like God would deliberately put like a cold weather just before Zambia played. And then there was anticipation and all of these different things. That was me.
Yeah.
Like the day before, I remember this a second. It's like I was walking. Yes, the SATA election, the one I thought he was going to win. The Ask Them.
Oh.
You are the bloody reporter. Ask Them.
Yeah.
I was walking from Kamwala to Bomber Residential. There weren't a lot of cars there. But like there would be a bus that is driving past, and I'm just walking by the road.
Yeah.
And then they go, P-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p- must just remove it first. And I'm like, ain't no way we are losing this. You understand what I'm saying? You understand
the
when
fists come out of the windows and everything.
When people would say it's like, when you come to Independence Stadium,
right?
Zambia is not, you're not playing 11 players, you're playing 22 players.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, it was that the feeling. It's just like, crazy. Listen, the fans are crazy. There's an extra person for each person.
The euphoria was crazy at that time.
Was crazy. So it's like you're Tunisia. Land. Yeah. We always have problems with you that side. But like, land to Independence Stadium. Different situation here because it's like we have our brothers who are buried right here and they didn't finish playing their careers.
Yeah.
So like now they're showing up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what it was. That particular election, and then it was lost.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not voting.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not voting. The only person who made me vote.
A lot of people were let down.
The only person who made me vote was the wife, because it's like, I'm voting for the first time. I'm voting, let's go. I'm voting for the first time. And I literally just went there and just ticked everything that was PF. Yeah. I didn't know the chancellor.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just ticked everything that was PF. X'd everything that was PF. You know, like the previous election, I was even thinking, so it's like, I think when I exit out, they think I'm saying not this one.
Right.
I think that we are being duped. That was my thinking. It's like, we're being duped with this whole BS, because it's like, it's nonsense, man.
Yeah.
There's no way Basata lost. I was upset. And then the next election, I voted because the wife was voting, and boom, Basata won.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was at. I remember everything.
Oh yeah, I remember when they won the election. Oh man, it was chaos. It was like Zambia won the World Cup.
I came out of the house.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know, people going to the streets,
yes,
making noise,
yes.
You know, I remember on that. Top of cars and. Oh man.
There was like a crazy period where it was, I think three days, I don't know how long it took. There was even a little bit of noise in town in certain places. I remember watching this on ZNBC. I remember Sylvia Masebo actually, you know, going to reprimand PF cadres. It's like, no, why are you throwing stones? Why are you blocking roads? We've already won the election.
Yeah,
go back. You don't need to do this. Go back home. You know what I mean? And I was just like, she's confident.
Yeah.
And then when the election results were announced, so it's like, I think I left home. I went to see Tawela, a friend of ours.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. He had a bottle of Jack Daniels.
As always.
Went to see him. We hang out. Went to the office. Power went at the office and then left. Went to Kablonga to buy a pizza. I was supposed to buy a Regina. I bought a margarita.
Okay.
Yeah.
You remember everything. Good.
Yeah. Margarita is basically, it's like a margarita is basically like the most basic pizza you can get. It's like tomatoes and, you know, like whatever. The most basic one. Regina is different. I was
the waitress
like,
had a fatty.
No. The Kablonga. I don't know. What is it?
Well, you said no. Do you remember that detail too?
No, because it's like I was begging for a pizza in the window. And they had closed. They had just closed when we got there. I see. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I had borrowed the company car without permission. I wasn't very savvy in driving at that particular point, but like me and Tawela were drunk, didn't care.
Yeah.
My boss just lived down the street from where we were buying the pizza from. Like, literally, like, maybe 4 or 5 houses.
Risking your jobs
so,
for pizza.
Yeah, but, like, I knew. So it's like, I needed to go home with something so that I wouldn't get shouted at. Because my girlfriend then was pregnant. You know what I mean? So, like, when I got home, I started listening to the election results. Showed her the pizza and I was so proud. I was like, I bought you a pizza. And I'm like, oh, you bought the wrong one. I was just like, oh, shit.
Way too excited.
Yeah. Left that alone and then started listening to the election results and then boom. Before they even got to Lusaka, they were like, yo, we're going to announce this. It's already been won.
Yeah.
And then I started hearing, I was like, I went to wake up. I went to wake up the wife. I was like,
yeah.
The election has been what? We went outside. She was pregnant. Oh, whatever. Man. But like, we went outside. We went outside. We were, you know, doing the thing. I was blowing a vuvuzela or some shit.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, it was mad fun.
Yeah.
That was a moment in our history, in Zambian history.
Yeah. I've been alive to see loads of these elections, and no other election was that, like, had people that excited, you know?
Yeah, probably the MMD one, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean?
In 91.
Yeah, that's so far back. I'm talking about, like, recent history.
Oh, yeah, no. In recent history, yeah. No,
I mean, because I know, like, in big 91, facts. People were really excited about, you know, that long-ass regime with Kaunda, and now it's like, oh, it felt like a breath of fresh air for people then, I would like to believe.
Yeah.
And I guess that was the same thing with the election when Masata won. It was like...
It's almost like, and not almost, like giving it to someone who earns it. Who earned it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we read the stats. It's like today on the show, when we were doing the show, it's like the PF was... basically last in line in the 2001 elections.
Yeah, almost last, yeah.
Almost last.
Yeah, they're like 3.40% of the vote nobody back in 2001.
Nobody gave a shit about the PF.
Yeah, no one.
You know what I mean? So you built that from someone, an individual, built that from the ground up, and then you're able to give them their flowers,
that's crazy, bro.
You know what I mean?
That's amazing. Yeah. That's an amazing success story. Like, he played... the long game. It's like, I'm not going to get swayed by these opportunities being thrown my way and whatever. I'm going to stick it out all the way to the end because I'm doing this for the people.
I had a conversation with somebody. It's like, do you remember what Basata used to do? What the PF used to do? It's like, after an election, they'd be back. After they lose an election, they would be back campaigning and saying thank you to everybody who voted for them probably a week or two after that. So like, boom, there's another rally.
Yeah.
Zikomo, mnati votela.
Yeah.
In his bad nyanja and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, do you not think that had an implication?
Yeah, because that's
like, you didn't vote like for us, but you voted. Man. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, everybody else is like, oh, no, we're here now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Turn on the AC.
Right.
What's the GX?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then he's out there on the ground, back in the shoddy room, back in the shoddy lodges and all of these different things, grinding, talking to the people that you're not talking to, that you will probably only consider talking to in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
But like, he's out there talking to them a week after or 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
Don't play with King Cobra.
He knew how to play the game, man. He knew how to play the game. And if you need a blueprint of how to get it done, like, it's right there. You know what I mean? Like, you just follow that.
Yeah, just have your twang. Just have your twang to it, man. Like, switch it up to what fits you and all of those different things.
Yeah.
Which we thought Chimbakambuli was doing, but apparently not. Which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. You know what
I mean? Look, he's a man, he can make his own decisions, whatever he feels works. But at this point, like, if he reads his comments, or if he's bumping into people and they're telling them this. Like, I don't know if he's got yes men in his camp. Clearly he does, because if he didn't, someone would have told him that this was going to be a bad move.
He doesn't.
You know?
Because it's like, where's his party? Where's NDC?
Is it still in existence?
Or yes, apparently. It's
who's running
by
it?
Saboy Mboilela right now.
Oh, God.
There was a there was a different part of it where they split off. Saboy stuck by her guns and stuck by her president. But they were and are supporting ECL in the current elections.
In the early stages of a political party, you already have different factions.
Yeah.
Like, how long did it take for the MMD to get that way? Like,
yeah.
For it to have factions. Like, they were a unit.
Took a while.
You know?
Took a while, bro.
Now it's...
But, But like even for, you know, like, and that's the thing. It's that's some nonsense that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like politics is one of the coldest things out there.
Mm.
Because you should remove all emotion sometimes. Mm. Remove it. Because then if you're going to come and tell me, it's like, oh, no, we're NDC and we're supporting ECL. And that's what they're doing. Mm. Right?
Right.
It's like we are endorsing ECL. So like an opposition party is endorsing somebody else.
Yeah.
So when he becomes president, what happens then? You go back to, oh, we're opposing you in this and that.
It's confusing, man.
And that's the, it's just like, listen, the problem is politicians think Zambians are stupid. And most we need of them, just yeah. like we need to stop doing that, because more and more Zambians are becoming savvy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even the people we call trolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Realize that it's like, oh, I can comment this, which is semi-smart or smart or whatever it is. It's a slick comment.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, 145 people like this.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my gosh, now my opinion matters.
Right.
Now I can actually have an opinion.
Yeah.
Now there can be 10 of us who actually have opinions that matter.
Yeah.
So like I can go in on this particular politician and people will be like, of course this person is talking BS.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
You understand? So like you can drive a conversation now. There's so many people that are doing that right now on their Facebook pages, all of these different things. And then politicians don't realize that. They're still trying to make it look like we're dumb. We don't understand how Facebook works, when we have a better understanding of algorithms and all of these different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the sooner they realize that people are smarter than they think, the better they will, you know, make decisions. Like, you make better decisions when... you just can't assume someone is dumb. Like, that's the worst thing you can ever do. Even just getting into any kind of conversation with people. Like, if you go into that thinking I'm smarter than them, like, you may end up looking stupid. And that's what we're kind of seeing... is like that's what's kind of going on right now. Like, what did you expect? Like, what was the reception you thought you were going to get by going back to people you called corrupt and like, these people are thieves? Like, why are you associating yourself with people you talk bad about? Like,
yeah.
It's like that one person who talks crap about someone and then the next moment you see them hanging out together. It's like, what is... You can't trust a person like that.
No,
you
know
what
I mean? Not at all. You can't. It's like, you can't.
Whoa, like, you're two-faced. Does the person you're hanging out with know that this is how you talk about them behind their back?
Yeah.
You know? So, it's crazy out here. We have to end here, though.
Let's end it here, bro.
We're going to be consistent. I mean, we're around each other even more now than ever before.
Yeah.
And, so... tune in to the show. It's, I would say sometimes it kind of gets to a point where it sounds like we're on the podcast. Because, here's the thing. With us, we're just having an honest and genuine conversation.
Yeah.
So it's like whatever you hear on the radio is probably what you hear us say
in real life.
Maybe we'll like filter it out a little bit on radio because you have to respect the platform that you're on, but we'll still give our opinion the same way.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
And so that's, you know, even here on the podcast, like if we had switched off these mics and we were just having a conversation about
it, would be all exactly these, like the this
same thing. We're not filtering anything out.
Like, that's why we started this shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. That is why.
Base cray.
So this has been interesting, you know. You think we should do this again, recording outside?
I'm not mad at it.
Out here in the elements, hearing.
I'm not mad at it.
The
at
cars
all.
And at people all. Talking at and all. Everything. It's actually at pretty all. Dope.
It's actually pretty dope. So shout out to everybody, man. Like,
people have stuck with us, man.
everybody, sure. Listen, I have to say, it's like, shout out to people like Kaleji,
Samuel,
people who keep the group active.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even when you don't post or anything or don't say anything, you know what I mean? Like, we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, so like, this is us coming back, man. Like, that's just big facts.
Yeah. So make sure you catch the radio show. We're on in the afternoon.
I've been saying this all the time.
What?
And that's like an actual name of another podcast.
What's that?
Big Facts.
Is it?
Yeah. Big Facts Podcast.
Who's on the Big Facts Podcast?
Oh, man, like, they've had a whole bunch of people, but like, it's like, it's, I think it's just like, I don't know if it's under the Charlamagne thingy magic.
The Black Effects Network.
Yeah, the Black Effects Network. So like, it's you would know them. It's like, if immediately I plugged you into it, you would be like, okay, this one. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Probably, like, check it out.
But like, the thing is, it's like, everybody who's there always says big facts.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's like, I've listened to it like 3-4 times now.
And now you're kind of.
And I'm like, big facts.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. That's sometimes.
It's crazy.
All right, yo, as usual, make sure you recommend this to a friend, all right?
Please.
Let them know how cool it is so they can join in. Don't be selfish. And yeah, subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud. Spotify is now available in Zambia, so you can catch us there as well. Apple Music. But, you know, Apple Podcasts has always been here. And we actually get a lot of people who listen to us via that. Yeah, Stitcher, you know, all these, you know, CastBox, all these other places. Any place that you find a podcast, you'll be able to find this right here. And remember to give us a, you know, leave us a comment or a review.
So, review.
Yeah, we want to know what you
have
to say.
Please.
All right.
We appreciate it.
That is our episode.
Peace.